So today we celebrate the feast of our Lord's entrance into the temple as he's carried in as a little child. He's now 40 days old, being brought in to be redeemed. Because it's the first, he is the firstborn of Mary. And she's a Jew, and the Jews all redeem their firstborn since the days of the Exodus from Egypt. Because, of course, you know the story. Pharaoh in Egypt had them as slaves, and he didn't want to let them go. And God brought plagues upon Pharaoh, one after the other, 10 in all. And the last was the plague of the firstborn. And the Jews, obeying the word of the Lord that they had from Moses, and any of the Jews who were devout and loved God took a lamb and sacrificed that lamb, killed the lamb and took the blood and put it on the lintel and on the doorposts, interestingly, kind of in the sign of a cross. And they then ate that lamb, specially prepared so that they could leave really quickly. And they had everything packed, and they were dressed, and they ate the lamb so that they could leave really quickly because they believed that God was going to take them out. But the blood of the lamb needed to be on the doorpost so that the Lord would pass over that house when he came and slew the firstborn of every family in Egypt except for those who had the blood on the door. This, of course, becomes the great feast of the Passover, as the Lord passes over the doors of those who have obeyed him, and then delivers them from slavery and bringing them out of Egypt into freedom. And so the Israelites, this is like the defining moment of the nation, and it became the most important of all of their feasts. So now, Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple to do for him according to the law, because the understanding was that the firstborn, because of this, all belonged to God, and they had to be redeemed by a sacrifice. If you were rich, it was a bigger sacrifice. If you were poor, it was something like two turtle doves. So we know that Mary and Joseph were poor. And of course, then he's met by Simeon and by Anna, both at, one by the promise of God at the end of his life, and the other at the end of her life. Then they take the child, and Simeon takes the child into his arms, and he prophesies, and so does Anna, before all of the people. And so this is the feast, this is the incident that we are commemorating in the Feast of the Meeting. Now, if we want to understand the church's understanding of any of these great feasts, probably the best place to look is in the Old Testament readings that are attached to the feast. In the early days of the church, the readings were, as we see in St. Justin's apology, his defense of Christianity to the emperor, so this is goes way, way back, the readings were from the Old Testament and from the memoirs of the apostles, as St. Justin calls them. Wonderful turn of phrase, which would be, of course, the epistles and the gospels, right? So you always had an Old Testament reading and then the epistles and the gospels. The Old Testament reading has largely dropped out, but it's preserved in all of the feasts, because we see all of the feasts as fulfillment, as fulfilled, fulfillments of the Old Testament prophecies. And so, again, if we want, and these lectionary readings go way back at the very least to the 4th century, quite probably earlier. And so I think what I wanted to do is with you today is look a little bit at the Old Testament readings that we heard last night for the in preparation for the feast. And there's three. I wonder why. I somehow like the number three. There kind of sort of is three. Actually, two of those three are composite. So the first one here is a composite from Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus. And I won't go through the whole reading, but essentially what it does is it begins with the the story of the Passover. The Lord spoke to Moses on that very day on which he led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Sanctify to me all the firstborn, the first produced, opening the womb among the children of Israel." And Moses went and gathered all the people and said, "Remember this day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, for with a strong hand the Lord led you out from thence. And you shall keep the law, and it shall come to pass when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land that of the Canaanites, that as he swore to your fathers, that you will still set apart all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb, for males to the Lord." This first one obviously sets the scene on one level. On another level, it's fascinating to think about what's happening here, because on the one hand, Christ is entering into this state of being a human being, living as one of us, and is fulfilling all the commandments of the law, not right now through his parents, and eventually he gets baptized, as we just celebrated at Theophany, by John the Baptist. At the same time, there's another layer at work here. Because on the one hand, he is simply the firstborn child of Mary, and so is being redeemed according to the law that was established at Passover. On another level, he is the Passover lamb. So we have the beginning and the end of his life brought together here in this feast. He is the Passover lamb who is slain to redeem his people. Because of course he's slain, he dies for us as the new sacrifice at Pascha. In this first one, we have this kind of dual layer of fulfillment. And then the next one, we have reading from the Old Testament is of course the reading from Isaiah chapter 6. And we probably all know it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Pause there for a moment. So on the one hand, again, we have the physical, visible reality. We have Mary and Joseph bringing this baby into the temple. On the other hand, we have the Lord, high and lifted up. The train of his robe fills the temple. The seraphims can't even look upon him. They are covering their faces with their wings, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." This is the spiritual reality that we are celebrating here at the Feast of the Entrance, that the presence of God high and lifted up in the temple. And it's interesting Isaiah sees this in the year that King Uzziah dies. King Uzziah was one of the greatest and strongest of the later kings of Israel, and now he's dead. And so everything's at a time of turmoil and uncertainty. And this is when Isaiah sees God enthroned. He is the one who is sitting on the throne. He is the one who is in control of all things. But the reading doesn't stop there. So Isaiah, of course, his response to this is, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, and the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And so here we have Isaiah lamenting, like everybody does who sees God. He's like, ah, I'm going to die. And what does God do? He has an angel go and take a coal from the tongs of the altar, and he touches his lips with it. And what he says is actually what I say after every single communion. Lord, this has touched your lips and purged you of your iniquities and cleansed you of every sin. The coal from the altar is Christ in communion. And that is what we receive here and now, every single Sunday. And as soon as Isaiah receives it, he hears the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And he immediately responds, having been cleansed, here I am, send me. This is precisely the sending out of the apostles, the sending out of the chosen ones, to the whole world. And it's fascinating as well to hear what God says about the people to whom Isaiah is being sent. They will hear but not understand. They will see but not perceive. Their hearts will be dull, their ears heavy, their eyes will be shut, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return to be healed. Who quotes this? Our Lord quotes this when he comes, and when people are like, why isn't everybody believing in you? And it's like, well, because of this. This is precisely the fulfillment of this prophecy. And this is the condition of the people of Israel at that time. It may well be the condition of the people around us. That doesn't prevent us having received the word of God from going out and sharing it with those around us. And there is, and he says, Lord, how long? Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, until the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. This happened in AD 70. The land was destroyed. And the Christians understood this as this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. And then the last one is a composite from Isaiah. And I love it because on the one hand, it talks about the Lord will deliver Egypt into the hands of the cruel lords. He will frustrate their counsels. The idols of Egypt will tremble at his presence. The Egyptians will fail and be dried up. But God, so here again, we have this power that God displays towards the unbelievers, towards Egypt, especially as manifest in Egypt. But he's not finished with the Egyptians. Because he says, tell them, make known what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. In that day, the Egyptians will be in fear and trembling, and there shall be an altar to the Lord in the land of the Egyptians, and a pillar to the Lord at its borders. And it shall be a sign to the Lord of hosts forever in the land of the Egyptians, for they shall cry to the Lord, and the Lord shall send to them a man who shall save them. And the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and they shall offer sacrifices and gifts, and shall pray and make their vows to the Lord. When did this happen? When the gospel came to Egypt, and it was received, and the Egyptians received the gospel. Because as I say, God is not finished with them. On the one hand, God had to pour out his wrath upon Egypt and upon the Egyptians to show them that the gods that they were worshiping were not true gods. But on the other hand, he is a God of love. He loves the Egyptians as well. And so even as he reveals their idols to be nothing, he welcomes them as they come to worship him, which they did when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here at the Feast of the Meeting, we celebrate the beginning of all of this fulfillment of prophecy, that Christ himself was not only the firstborn of Mary, born of a virgin, according to the fulfillment of the prophecy, but he is also the Passover lamb who will redeem his people. Christ himself, as he enters the temple, is the Lord, high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne, and he's also this baby held in the arms of Simeon, prophesied over by Anna. And he is the one who redeems us, who redeems us as the people of God, who cleanses us as the people of God, who sends us forth as the people of God to share the good news about him, about his love, about his not only his power, but his great love for all mankind, that even the enemies of God might become his friends. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy that we are celebrating today. May the joy of the feast be with you.